Welcome back to the Moxie Motive Podcast. I'm so glad you're here. Y'all, it has just been a busy day for me. I've been running around, not really doing errands, but running around meeting people, going to a concert tonight, so I'm really excited for that. I've been working a lot, just staying busy, living that barista life, so I hope you have been well and doing good. And like I said in my last podcast, I really apologize that I haven't been recording well, but I'm going to try to get back onto a good schedule of recording. It was just kind of crazy with starting a new job and just not knowing what my schedule was and all of that. But I am trying to schedule out times now to record so we can make sure that there's an episode posted every Monday. Again, I appreciate everyone's support and everyone that comes up to me in life telling me that you like listening to my voice. I think my voice can be kind of annoying, so the fact that you tune in every week to listen, I really appreciate. I'm so excited for today's episode because I have one of my bestest friends, Taylor. She is also an amazing barista, a super freaking awesome Christian, a great mentor to me, a future author. She's just all around a fantastic person, and I really hope that everyone has their own Taylor in their life because she has been such a life-giving, fulfilling, and blessing to me and friendship, and just really taught me and shown me what a good friend is. I feel like I'm gonna start crying, but I'm so excited to have her here today. And Taylor and I, we do not do surface level conversations. We go deep. I think, like, when we first met and had coffee, honestly, probably one of her first questions to me was probably about trauma. I don't even remember, but it probably was. So we're going to be talking about boundaries. Such a fun subject. And I know this is something that really affects everyone. Sometimes in big ways, sometimes in small ways. But I knew the moment I started this podcast, I knew that she was a guest I wanted to have and that this was a subject that her and I could really dive deep into. And so she's done a lot of research, more so than I have. She prepped better than I did for my own episode. But yeah, all the people, welcome Taylor. Taylor, say hi. Tell them a little bit about yourself, maybe like what you're studying in school, some goals.
Hi, I'm Taylor. Yes, I'm good friends with Hannah. Currently, I'm a barista going to school full time in psychology in order to become a counselor and eventually a psychologist. Yeah,
all the fun things. I'm so excited for you to be a psychologist when you get into that.
Thank you.
I feel like the one thing about having a friend that's a, like in school for that, and I sometimes feel guilty, is like I sometimes like ask her to like diagnose me, or I message her and I'm like, here's all the things that went wrong today, this, and so I'm grateful that she is still continuing to be my friend through all my ranting. And then you're also in the process of your book. Where are you in your book, and what is that going to be about?
So my book is called Unrivaled. It's currently in the editing process, and then it will be in the steps of publishing. So essentially, Unrivaled is just about my own journey of emotional healing and, just the process through that, what it meant for me to heal from things, even things that I didn't even know that I had dealt with. And just what that looked like in the guidance of therapy and essentially with the Holy Spirit.
Y'all, I am so excited for that book. Once it gets published, I'm going to be the ultimate hype girl. I'm going to be posting about it. I'm probably going to have to get a dictionary out to learn some of the words in the book. But I'm going to be hyping her up because she's been working on this book so hard. Honestly, I think since I've known you, you've been in the process of writing it and really kind of going for it more full force in the last 2 years. But I'm really excited for it. And I just envision her doing book tours, walking across the country, not walking across the country, bussing around the country, doing tours. I'm so excited to be able to tell people that my best friend is a published author, because that's just going to be my flex until I can be one too. But yeah, we just wanted to talk about boundaries. And again, forgive me. This is now my second interview, podcast style. But I'm still awkward. And I don't know how to transition well. So I'm just going to be asking questions and try not to be monotone. But one of the things that we wanted to talk about is, since we're talking about boundaries, we wanted to bring in the subject of, like, honor with boundaries. Because the question I thought of is how to honor parents. And this could not even, doesn't even have to be parents. This could be relationships, rather platonic or romantic. How to honor anyone, basically, who doesn't honor or respect your boundaries. And so to dig into that, we went into the definition of honor. So Taylor, if you want to give that definition of honor.
Yeah, so the definition of honor basically means high respect, privilege, or holding someone of high importance.
Yeah.
So when it comes to honoring parents, that essentially just means to hold them in high respect of importance. Another way to look at it is from a parent-to-child relationship or parent-to-adolescent relationship would be, so, like, say, for example, that you are given a set of rules to obey while you are living under your parents' roof. You may not agree with them, but to honor them would to be what it means to obey them. Another way to look at it would be, like, you know, if the roles were reversed and you were the parent, the way that you are treating your parents, would you want your child to be treating you that way?
Yeah, no, that's good. And I think a lot of people might be listening to this like, oh, well, that's easy for you guys to say, you're adults. Y'all, Taylor and I still live at home, okay? Mm-hmm. We still live with family. And so, yes, we're adults. And with that, we have the privilege to make our own decisions and stuff. However, we still have to honor and respect our family members and our parents because we are living under their household. And even if we weren't living under their household, we, you know, I think both of us, just knowing us, would still, you know, choose to honor our parents. And, mm-hmm. and we get it. Parent relationships can be difficult, can be hard, but I would rather know at the end of the day I did what I could to honor and respect my parent and my family members and my elders, rather than, like, you know, being known as a person that's just, like, dragging them through the mud. And it's like, you know, there's going to be days where I'm just going to have to be the bigger person and just suck it up if I don't agree with something or like something. But again, I'd rather be known as the person who's showing respect. I don't even know how to explain that, but I think what I'm saying makes sense. But I think too, having boundaries doesn't mean that you don't love someone or haven't forgiven them yet. Mm-hmm. So if you have anything like that you want to put into that and like elaborate, because I know I've had an issue with some family members of where I'm placing up boundaries and it's not perceived well, and they take it more as, I wouldn't say a burden, but they take it more as like, oh, you're hurting me because you're putting up this boundary. However, I'm not meaning to hurt them. I'm putting up the boundary not only to protect myself, but protect them, to protect our relationship. So if you have anything to like add in on just like putting up boundaries with someone that you're close to and like forgiveness and...
Yeah, so, like, in my own life, I've had to set boundaries with certain people in my life, and I think a lot of times, I'm gonna go quickly into what boundaries are not. So, oftentimes we think boundaries are just, like, something that you put against another person just because you don't like something, but what boundaries are not is they're not a manipulation tactic to get what you want from something or someone. And it's not, it shouldn't be used as a way to cut people off just because they haven't given you a yes on something. So in terms of that, I think just maintaining healthy boundaries is key, but I also think even more so, especially when it comes to like a parent child dynamic or even just like having boundaries with any person in your life, it's knowing their back history.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, that has been one of the biggest things to where it's like, okay, I can have respect, compassion, and grace for someone because I know what they came from. You know, so like me being a millennial and, you know, my parents being essentially, I think, Gen Xers, each generation has its own things it's known mm-hmm. for. And so for me, especially as someone who's going to school for psychology and who is going into therapy to become a therapist and everything like that, it's like I'm so much more aware compared to someone who isn't in that field because of knowledge I have attained and even from my own experience of my own healing that I've gone through. And, you know, with my parents, it's like they grew up in a time to where there was like this big stigma around mm-hmm. mental health, even more so than now. And, you know, they were brought up under certain conditions. And it's like, you know, I can be mad at them for X, Y, and Z. But essentially, if they were never taught something or they didn't even know that something ever existed, yeah. and I'm holding them accountable for not giving me that of something, then, like, that's not fair on their part, yeah, you know?
That's so good. And I think, like, I've dealt with that, too, because obviously my mom is around probably the same age as your parents, and I'm a millennial as well. But, like, another thing that I've dealt with is just knowing what my family has gone through
mm-hmm.
and the trauma that they have experienced. And obviously, like, I knew some of the stuff when I was really young, but I wasn't mature or emotionally mature enough to understand it, to understand how it affected someone. Now that I am older, I can see, like, even how my own trauma affected me. But now that I even know that, like, I can see how the trauma that my family members went through, how it affected them. And so it mm-hmm. kind of helps give me an understanding. Now, I will say, I do not think your trauma is an excuse to manipulate people.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And I feel like we do have a lot of people who do that. And sometimes, mm-hmm. I'm going to give them the benefit of a doubt, I think some people don't know that they're doing that.
Yeah.
Because they were raised in such an environment where, like, they were being manipulated and they just learned and they just think it's normal. However, I think if you get to the point where you see your actions and what you're doing and how you're treating people isn't okay, to be the bigger person and to realize, hey, like, this isn't okay. Like, let's go to therapy. Let's unpack that. Let's see how I can help communicate. Mm-hmm. And I have to do that with myself a lot too. And I've just in the last like year, I've seen a lot of things that I do that aren't healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I do them because it's what I'm used to. It's how I was raised. Mm-hmm. It's what my family does. But I'm deciding, like, no, I'm going to break this. I'm being the generational curse breaker. And I will say, if mm-hmm. you are a generational curse breaker, and Taylor, I think you're aware of this too.
Yeah.
It's hard. I'm going to have you elaborate on that really quickly, just generational curse breaking.
Yeah. So with generational curse breaking, I know it's very much a term that is well used within the church, but even outside of the church, it's essentially just being the person in your family to be able to heal from things that your parents or whoever in your family has not already healed from, so that when you have your own family, so that when you have your own kids, your own grandkids, whatever the case may be, that you're not carrying that down your bloodline, essentially.
Yeah, and there is this book I actually read about. He wasn't necessarily talking about generational curses. What was it called? It was a book called It Didn't Start With You. And it wasn't technically about generational curses, but, I mean, I looked at it kind of in that light. And he basically talked about, he had a lot of, I can't remember if he was a therapist or what, but he had a lot of clients who were actually descendants of Holocaust survivors.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have a lot of people come in and they were just like terrified of dying, or small claustrophobic, or they had all like, they just thought that if, you know, because a lot of people, I know this is deep, but in the Holocaust, you know, were in the gas chambers.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were really claustrophobic, and he would have to, like, be like, hey, like, let's talk about your history. Like, did you have anyone in your family that died from being in a claustrophobic environment? And he went so as far as even saying, like, if your grandfather, if he passed away from, I don't know, like, a car crash, that you now are going to, could be afraid of driving, even though you've never driven, you've never had a car crash, you don't know anyone, like, he died before you even met him, but because it was something in your generation and in your blood, and again, it was a book called It Didn't Start With You, and so that's, his wasn't necessarily generational curses, but when I was reading it, I was kind of thinking, oh, like, that kind of makes sense if, you know, these things are in your bloodline and it's what you've been used to and you're hearing about it mm-hmm. all your life, like, if you're hearing all your life, oh, your grandfather died in a car accident, then yeah, when you start driving, you're probably going to be afraid mm-hmm. that you're going to die in a car accident. And there's even a few verses in the Bible about, I don't remember where that is, about that the curses of your fathers are onto so many generations.
Either Genesis or Exodus, yeah. Somewhere in the Old Testament.
I didn't write it down, so it's not coming to my mind, but... yeah, I just thought that that was a really interesting book. And I read it, like, a long time ago, so I feel like I'm probably telling some of the stories wrong. But it was a really interesting book just about generational curses and all of that and how it can affect you. And I'd say, like, let's talk about, because we kind of talked about this earlier, just, like, with boundaries. I do think in our culture and in the world, it'll just tell you to just cut people off. Just automatically. Just, like, stop talking to them. And I will say, I do think sometimes it is healthy to cut someone off. However, that should not be your first go-to response. Mm-hmm. But if we are to that point, let's talk about maybe what's going to escalate to the point of deciding to cut someone off. And if, when we get to that point of cutting someone off, especially us as Christians, how should that be done? How should we go about that? How can we still honor someone in a biblical way? And say, hey, like, I don't want a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, especially in the realm of Christianity, there's a lot of confusion with Christianity plus boundaries equals question mark, you know? With boundaries in the church, a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, just be civil, just tolerate the other person, just do this or do that. But there's no, like, fine line of, like, okay, once they cross this line, no more.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people think that, you know, boundaries aren't even a part of Christianity, but if you look at it from a biblical perspective, it definitely is. So, like, in the book of Titus, I think in chapter 3, it talks about a divisive person, and it says how, you know, like, if you come across a divisive person, and basically, if they disrespect a boundary that you have in place, if they do it once, warn them. They do it twice, have nothing more to do with them. And so, from a biblical perspective, it definitely is in there.
Yeah, no, that's good. And, yeah, because I think, again, like what I said, it's just a culture will just say, we're in that cancel culture, where if they do one thing wrong, just cut them off. And can I just say, I hate cancel culture, guys. Like, I really do. I think it's so dumb. Especially because I feel like what's happening now is there's things from years ago. Years ago. And I think this is happening with celebrities a lot, where they're like, oh, they said this terrible thing in an interview 20 years ago. And it's like, okay, can we all agree that it was terrible? Yeah. But can we also agree that it was 20 years ago? They were 20 years younger. They were 20 years less mature. They've grown from it. The culture, the society has changed. Like, y'all, if anyone looked and saw some of the things that we did as teenagers, and I say that to the listeners too, like, you don't want to be held accountable for something you did as a teenager. And so cancel culture to me is just like, mm-hmm. I think it's a bit crazy. Now, I get if it's someone who's continually doing these things currently and is being, you know, just abrasive and awful and, you know, I can get that, but I just don't like the aspect of, oh, they did this years ago and let's cancel them for it. So I think if it's a grudge that you're holding against someone too, mm-hmm. you need to find healing for that, and you need to find forgiveness in your heart, because why are you deciding to draw this boundary? Is it something that happened years ago that maybe they don't even know it happened, but you're holding that grudge against them? Because I was talking about this too earlier with my friend. It's like, how are they going to know that something's going wrong if you don't tell them? You know, mm-hmm. Now if you've told them over and over and over, like, hey, you're doing X, Y, and Z, and it's hurting me in this way and this way and this way, and they tell you, because I've had this happen too, they tell you that they don't care, mm-hmm. or that you're being dramatic and they're not going to respect that. You know, if you're choosing to basically tell me, if I've given you, like, hey, like, this is what you're doing and this is hurting me, and you tell me you don't care that you're hurting me, then for me, I don't need a relationship with you. Because mm-hmm. right then and there, you've told me that you don't respect or care enough to change what you're doing to hurt me. I'm not saying, you know, they need to change who they are completely. No, not at all. But if someone is coming and telling you, like, you did this and it hurt me, then what I expect is for them to say, okay, I'm so sorry that hurt you. Like, how can we move from this? Mm-hmm. What can I do to better myself so that we don't get in this situation again?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So essentially boundaries, what healthy boundaries are, is for the health of relationship, not for the harm of it.
Exactly.
And especially with the cancel culture that we have going on right now, and that has been going on, it's very easy, especially on social media, whether it's like Instagram, TikTok, whatever, yeah. social
and
media
platform.
Yeah,
and it's having a lot on Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah. It's like, oh, someone did you wrong? Cut them off. And it's like, no, that's just manipulation for you to get your way.
Yeah.
And so, like, something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, ever since Hannah had asked me to come on the podcast, was, you know, like, what is a deeper value of boundaries? And for me, it's, I think, boundaries, self-regulation, like self-emotional regulation, and identity is very interlocked and related. So, like, for example, if I don't have healthy boundaries, it shows I don't have a healthy sense of my individual identity. At the same time, if I'm trying to set boundaries in environments with specific people in my life just because I feel triggered at every and any given moment, but don't self-regulate, that's not healthy either. When I continually attempt to set boundaries, but I don't work on my inner triggers and things that I may need to address within myself first, it shows that I expect everyone and everything around me to change, but not myself, which is extremely toxic mentality and mm-hmm. goes back in sync with the manipulation and victim mentality that is associated with unhealthy boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
But also on the topic of healthy boundaries as well, there's this quote from Jordan Peterson, who I know is in the media a lot, but he's also an author, and I think a professor as well. And what he says about boundaries is, just because you're not perfect doesn't mean you're not worth improving.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when it comes to boundaries, like, that's so important to realize, because especially if you are used to living in, like, the victim mentality, it's easy to think, well, you know, I've lived my whole life like this so far.
Yeah.
Like, why change it now?
Yeah.
But I think especially in terms of boundaries and in terms biblically, when it comes to the gospel, like, you are worth improving. You're worth the effort. You're worth the development, and to have people to come around you in order to reflect that, to reflect the life that you're supposed to be living, to hold yourself to a higher standard.
And I just want to, like, go back to the victim mentality too. I just did, I'm in the middle of doing a Bible plan that's called Victim versus Victor. And it really is just about your mentality and how you think. And I think we get stuck, we see that a lot, just like, people are like, oh, this is just the way I am. This is just who mm-hmm. I am. And I Not to put anyone down, I see this a lot in older generations where they're like, this is just how it is. This is what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it's working for you, then okay, fine. But if it's causing problems or if you've had multiple people say, like, hey, like, this isn't working, what you're doing, it's okay to change. There's nothing wrong with changing. And I feel like, too, like, I dealt with this a lot when I rededicated my life because, mm-hmm. Again, people listening know my story pretty much, but I grew up in a Christian home, but I was not living a Christian life. And, like, when I graduated high school, I just stopped going to church completely. I was living in the world, living in culture. So I developed my mindsets and all these things I, you know, adhered with.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got baptized, I had a lot of my things questioned. Mm-hmm. And not in a bad way, but it was, like, my friends who just cared about me were like, hey, like, is this mindset good for you to have? Like, should you be thinking about that or thinking about it in this way? And I was like, you know, I knew that they were coming from a place of love, but I could have easily just been like, well, this is just who I am. This is just the way I think. But I had people challenging the way I thought. And yeah, and I did disagree with people for a long time. However, there was nothing, I don't want to say that there was nothing wrong with me disagreeing because it was just the way you go about it. Like, you can disagree with me, that's fine. If you mm-hmm. want to disagree with me, I don't expect everyone to have the same thought process mm-hmm. that I do, because that's absolutely absurd to expect everyone to think the same way as I do. Mm-hmm. So you can disagree with me. However, like, how are you? Are you being respectful about the way you're disagreeing with me? Are you willing to hear the other side of, you know, the thought process? And so when I had people coming up to me and be like, hey, like, what you're doing is not healthy, and, like, to be honest, guys, like, I just, I was a very bitter person. I was very mean. Like, there was a lot of things I've had to work on in my heart and change. But if I would have just been, like, crossing my arms and refusing to change, like, well, this is just how I am and this is how I grew mm-hmm. up. And, you know, it wouldn't have got me anywhere. It honestly would have caused me probably more failure. It probably would have ruined a lot of my relationships. So I think it's important that we don't get stuck in that. And I think we see that a lot too in culture and in the new age practices with horoscopes and things like mm-hmm. they're, I don't yeah. even know what season we're in right now, but people will be like, well, I'm a Scorpio. So it's just how I, you know, and I mean, I joke about it because in the horoscope chart, I'm under Leo. And so I joke about it because Leos are known to be like self-centered and whatnot. And I can be that way. However, I also don't let this horoscope
mm-hmm.
define who I am. Yeah. I also don't go on every day to read what my week is going to be like because
mm-hmm.
that's stupid.
Yeah. And I think especially in current culture, so like at the beginning of the pandemic when TikTok kind of just like blew up
yeah.
and so did all of the mental health diagnoses and
yes,
everything
people
else.
Diagnosing themselves.
Yeah. So like for me, I have ADHD and it's something I've had my whole life, but I have only been clinically diagnosed since I was like 14 or 15. And that comes with its own hurdles, but for a long time I did find my identity in it. You know, just making up these excuses of like, oh, well, you know, this is just who I am. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like a lot of what you were talking about. But I think it comes to a point, especially in terms of identity, is like, you know, is this who you are or is this like the deathbed that you're willing to lie on?
Yeah, that's good.
You know, like, is it your identity or is it your pride?
Yeah.
Oof.
Go there, Taylor. Go there.
But really, it essentially comes down to that. So like in my own experience with, going through my own healing, it wasn't until I began to heal from my own internal brokenness that I could establish and find my authentic identity from personal worth for who I truly am as a human being. We need to find our equivalence of our worth when we find what is acceptable and what can no longer be tolerated. Often showing up as healthy boundaries in our lives. You know, and so it goes back to that part where you know, our identity is directly related to our boundaries, because the boundaries that we set show someone else, hey, this is how I want to be treated. Like, this is the standard in my life. So, like, if you are not setting healthy boundaries and you're just letting whoever and whatever just waltz into your life and do whatever, you essentially are showing that thing or that someone, like, hey, this is the standard of my life, and this is how I inherently am telling you how to treat me.
Yeah.
Whether it's something you think about, it might be in your subconscious, you know. So, like, for me, with relationships that I've been in the past, to where it, like, unknowingly, I had always had these very toxic codependent relationships, and it only got until I was willing to confront my own brokenness in my own life, and just, I was tired of being treated the way I was being treated. And a lot of it just came to how I viewed myself, what I thought of myself, what I was willing to accept for myself, and how I was willing to let other people treat me. So it's like, if I don't hold myself to a certain standard, people are only going to treat me as a certain standard because it's what I've shown them to.
Yeah. And I think, too, like, what I want to go back on is, I think what you said is your boundaries tell people how to treat you.
Yeah.
And I, again, growing up, I had people who just didn't necessarily know how to set healthy boundaries. And I saw that and I was like, well, I don't want to be treated like that. I don't want to be walked all over. So I decided from a fairly early age that I was going to have boundaries. Now, I didn't, like, necessarily know how to go about that. I was very young. I didn't know how to go about that. I was a teenager. So I probably didn't do it in the best ways all the time. But I learned very early on how to say no to people. But I think, too, like, there's nothing wrong with sticking up for yourself and saying no when you need to say no. Like, and if, I think, too, again, as Christians, like, if there's something that just doesn't sit well in your spirit and you can just tell and you're discerning that this is not good for you, just, it's okay to say no. And it's okay to say no to something without feeling guilt about that. Because I think, again, just so much in the culture, it's like I like fantasy shows. Like, I love fantasy shows. I had to stop watching Supernatural. I don't think I made it through, like, a full season, maybe a season. But for me, it just started getting, like, really demonic. And before, when I was younger and didn't have a relationship with God, I probably could have watched that and been fine. I can watch, like, Harry Potter and things with magic and be okay. But whenever there's something that demonic gets involved, like, absolutely, I cannot. And I turned it off and I stopped watching it. And I was talking to someone the other day who's not a believer. And so, like, I can't hold them, you know, accountable for these same things. But they were like, oh, like, yeah, no, that doesn't bother me. It's fine. I'm like, but I believe in it. I believe in witchcraft. I believe in the demonic. I believe in the spiritual. And I was watching a show with witchcraft in it, with demonic possessions in it. And I was like, no, I don't even want this in my environment. Now, I know as a Christian that, like, I cannot be possessed, but I just, well, I guess, what is it? Is it strong? Is it demonic strongholds versus possession?
It's probably more of, like, spiritual oppression.
Spiritual oppression, yeah. But, like, even knowing, like, I feel fully confident that I will not be possessed. But that, even that being said, I did not want to watch something with demonic possession or any spiritual oppression or any of that. I just don't want to welcome it into my space. I don't want, even if they're fake little enchantment spells that they're saying, I don't want it in my space. Because I believe in the spiritual world, and I believe in that warfare, and I believe if I let that into my space and I'm opening that door,
then
it can affect me. I'm kind of going off on a tangent.
A lot of it comes down to, though, like, what are you willing to entertain in your life? And also, that does go back to boundaries. Like, what are you willing to entertain in your life? You know, like, if you have a certain goal of what you want your life to look like and it's not looking like how you want it to, why?
Yeah.
Like, analyze the motives in your life, analyze your actions, the people you're surrounded with, you know? So, like, for me, like, when it comes to terms of relationships and things, like, I'm not dating right now, and that's probably for the best just because of a lot of things I have going on in my schedule. But a lot of it just has to do with, like, I'm holding myself to a certain standard because I know I have, like, kind of like what I was saying earlier is what you're willing to entertain.
Exactly.
And so if I open myself up to, like, allowing, like, super codependent or just, like, not the best choice in my life to enter and to entertain that as a relationship, it's going to make me go down a certain path. So, like, you know, if I, for example, even though this is not something I would do, like, if I am entertaining the thought of, like, witchcraft or occult practices or whatever it may be, if I'm entertaining that into my life, eventually that's what my life's going to look like.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's like, I know I need someone in my life, and not just in relationships, just like friendships and people in general. I need people in my life who are willing to accept me for who I am and for who I know I am, but also are going to hold me accountable and help push me forward. Yeah. Like, I don't need someone who's going to help me stay in my comfort zone, because that doesn't produce anything.
And I think that's too, like, why I like having you, you and Shannon, so much as my friends, because when I'm being stupid, which is often, I'll out myself, I don't care. You guys call me on it. You don't let me stay in this place. Like, if, I won't go in too much into detail, but, like, earlier last year, I was just making stupid choices, and talking to people that I should not have been talking to. And, like, you and Shannon basically were just like, what are you doing? Like, you're being an idiot. Like, as kindly as they could tell me, they told me I was being an idiot. And, you know, in the moment, that's what I needed to hear. I didn't need comfort and be like, oh, well, no, you just keep doing what you're doing. Like, it'll all work out. No, I needed someone to tell me, you're being dumb right now. You need to cut this person off. You need to stop. And I think a lot of times, too, is especially teenagers, and I know a lot of teenagers listen to my podcast, and that's why I keep going back to it, is I love you guys. I love you teenagers. However, you are not as emotionally mature as you think you are sometimes. And so I know it's annoying when, like, older people are like, oh, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't, because you think you know what you're doing. We've all been there. But I appreciate, you know, from a standpoint of good friendship, I appreciate people saying, you don't know what you're doing. Like, now, if you're just saying this to be mean to me and bully me and hate on me, that's different. Like, if I just make this painting I'm really proud of and you say, you're not a painter, what are you doing? Well, of course, I know I'm not a painter. You don't need to remind me of that. But, you know, if I'm actually making dumb decisions and, like, life choices, and you're holding me accountable and setting a standard for me, like, it's gonna hurt. Like, when I sat down with Shannon and Taylor and I told them what I was going through, and I knew that they weren't gonna give me the answer I necessarily wanted to hear. I knew they were gonna be harsh with me and it hurt. But I also knew it's what I needed. And I really just appreciate that. And, like, again, if you have friends in your life who don't tell you no, like, friends who tell you no care about you.
Yeah.
Friends who, like, can straight up be like, hey, like, this is gonna hurt your feelings, but this is what you need.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you had posted something a while ago. It had something to do with not every person in your life needs to be a yes man. And that's so, so important.
Yeah, and I think if you have a friend in your life who's constantly saying yes, like, I don't want to say, like, get rid of that friend, but, like, evaluate it. I mean, to an extent, having people who say yes, like, Taylor knows I'm a crazy person, okay? Like, I'm just going to walk down an alleyway. I'm like, whatever, let's go for it. Like, if you want to get on a roller coaster, I'm like, yes, let's go. Book the trip. Let's make it happen. However, at the same time, like, I can be the person to say no when I know I need to be and if I need to be. And again, I like having friends who can tell me that. Again, being the crazy risk taker sometimes that I am, I need people to tell me no and calm me down. But, you know, I just think it's really important. And I think just one, having boundaries with friendships, too. Because I know I've struggled. I wouldn't say so much with friendships, maybe a little bit. But I know I struggled a lot with this with family relationships and with, like, romantic relationships, with being very codependent. I think codependency and boundaries are kind of, you know, you need boundaries if you're codependent. So if you want to, like, elaborate on maybe anything on that topic that you can think of.
Yeah. So, like, for me, just because I didn't grow up with a lot of, like, mental health knowledge until I started pursuing it, it wasn't until I was probably, like, 23 or 24 to where I found out I was extremely codependent, and it wreaked havoc in every area of my life. And so my own personal experience with that was basically just going to see a therapist and working through those issues. And, you know, like, with codependency not being something that I didn't even know what it was, because I didn't even think it existed. Mm-hmm. And so once you find out certain things that help you with boundaries, that help you with relationships, and just help you in general with life, it opens your eyes to see something that is a possibility where beforehand it might have not have been. But with boundaries are usually the healing process of what it means to heal from codependency in that regard. But I think in line with healing from codependency and dealing with boundaries, one of the biggest things that I have learned and am still continually learning is learning to have boundaries for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, like, because you can have all the accountable friends, all the, like, yes men, and all the type of people that you need in your life, but it comes down to a certain point to where, like, your friends can't live your life for you.
Yeah.
And so in that regard, it's like you need to have boundaries for yourself. Because if you aren't telling yourself no on certain things, what life are you truly living?
Yeah, no, that's so good. And I was even talking about that on the last episode when I was talking about dating. I just know my boundaries as far as, like, self-control goes, because I just know that I don't have good self-control. And not just in dating, like, in a lot of aspects. Like, I have really bad self-control when I walk into a store. I want to buy everything, and doesn't matter how little I have in my bank account, I just still continue putting things in my cart. And so I just know, like, that's something that I struggle with, and I need to know that about myself, and I need to be accountable, not only with myself, but with other people about that. But that's just, like, where I know one of my boundaries that I draw for myself is I try as hard as possible just not to go into stores anymore. If I, like, even as the smallest thing is groceries. I order my groceries online, so I'm not walking into the store, because I know that if I walk into the store, especially if I'm grocery shopping, I'm just going to throw a bunch of stuff in the cart that I'm not even going to eat. And I just, you know, that's a simple thing, but it's an important thing, because my boundary for that, for shopping, is investing into myself financially. Because if I'm going to the stores every week, I'm just wreaking havoc on my finances. And so, because I know where I want to be in my future, and I've decided that I need to start working towards it, I've decided I need to start making these boundaries. And even to the point where, like, I joke around, but, like, when I'm with friends in the store, I'm like, don't let me buy anything. And they're like, well, Hannah, I can't stop you. And I'm like, no, seriously, like, force me out of the store. Like, don't let me do this.
Yeah, and I think sometimes putting boundaries on yourself can just be very practically and simply, like, making goals for yourself and sticking to them.
Yeah.
And even if it means, so, like, for me, especially with ADHD, it can be very overwhelming to be like, okay, here's, like, a huge goal for my future.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, this is so overwhelming. Like, where do I even start? And sometimes it just means, like, okay, let's break this down into, like, a 10-step process. Let's start with step number one.
Yeah.
You know, like, and
I think
it's...
For, Oh, sorry. Continue. Sorry.
You're good. And it's just, like, the first step. As long as you're making progress, like, that's what counts.
Yeah. I think for me, too, that's what I have to do with, like, cleaning my room.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll get into depressive seasons, and then I don't clean, and then I get very overwhelmed. And then I get to a point where I'm okay, mentally, but I look in my room, and I'm just lost. And I don't even know where to start. And I remember reading something where it's like, okay, you know, your dishes are piling. You don't need to do all the dishes. Like, yeah, it would help. But if you only can do one dish, do the one dish. And so, like, when I get to those spots, that's what I'll do. Is, like, if I can only have enough energy to fold a few clothes, I just fold those few clothes because I'm starting. I haven't officially been diagnosed with ADHD or ADD, either one. But I know, I think this is one of the symptoms or one of the other. I don't know. Taylor knows the diagnoses more than I do. I know TikTok. But I know that I, like, hyperfixate on things, and I'll get into, like, a hobby, and I'll do it for, like, 2 weeks, and then I stop. But I also have learned to know this about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, being older and mature, I can have these conversations. Like, okay, Hannah, do you really want to buy all these painting supplies? Like, is this really a smart choice? Like, and I need to have, again, it's a boundary that I need to have with myself. I'm like, okay, maybe buy one canvas and one little thing to paint.
Yeah.
But we don't need to buy everything. And that's, again, with everything, I will just find things that I fixate on and I want to do. But I've learned now that I'm older that I'm not good at that because I give up very easily.
And I think a lot of it just goes back to habits. Mm-hmm. I forget the author of the book, but he was doing this podcast that I was listening to, and he was just talking about the science behind habits. And it's not so much of, like, something that you change in your life, whether it's a habit you want to keep or a habit you want to change or making a new habit, but he said that it's the system that you set up behind it.
Sorry, I'm responding to a text message. I mean, it's for something that is coming up tonight, so I just, this is why I need to learn to edit, Taylor, because I don't know how to edit. And I could easily, like, again, I could easily teach myself on YouTube, but I'm being stubborn, because I don't think I'm going to understand. And so right now my podcast is just like, I tell people, I'm like, I'm not editing it. This is what you're getting. If I mess up, if I say something that's offensive, just deal with it. Okay. I'm sorry. 'Cause I don't know how to edit. But I think pretty much now we've kind of gone over most things. If there was any, like, last inputs that you wanted to put in that you think would be really important. I know you had some, like, verses written down. I can pull those up. I don't know. Anything else that you can think of?
No, I think that's about it. I think the only thing I would put emphasis on is just knowing that you're worth improving.
Yeah.
To know that there is grace for change, there's compassion for change, and transformation is part of the process, especially in our walk with Christianity. And as much as, you know, we talk about, you know, learning someone's history, have compassion and grace for yourself, because, you know, we live with ourselves every day. You may not see another person every single day or live with them every single day, but you have to deal with yourself every day. So just have grace and compassion for yourself in those areas.
Yeah. You're the only person that you're going to have, like, forever.
Yeah.
And for me, that's why I've gotten really big on just, self-love and stuff, because I'm like, I'm going to be stuck with me forever. I don't want to hate everything about myself until the day I die. Like, that is just,
it's miserable.
I don't want to live that life. I want to love my life. I want to love me. But yeah, I will throw some of our notes that we have in the show notes, some verses, and even maybe some, like, book recommendations. I didn't really do a poll or ask any questions on this episode. I just knew it was something I really wanted to talk about. So if you liked this episode, if you do have more questions, DM me. I would love to answer what questions I can, which is few. But if you do have more of like psychology based questions and things like that, still send it to me and I can reach out to Taylor if she's okay with that. She's very busy, so I don't want to burden. But yeah, just thank you again for being my friend and for coming on here. And yeah, I love y'all. Thank you again for listening, supporting, and have an amazing week. Bye.